Okay. Fine. So tonight we are going to be moving on with the Melacha of Kosher. Last week we set down the basic rules for Melacha's Kosher. The bottom line that came out for those that follow the Ramah, which would be the Ashkenazim, are two basic rules that govern the permissibility of making a knot on Shabbos. Rule number one is that we're in Galus here. Rule number one is that the no knot can be made for more than a short period of time. Any knot can never be made for more than a short period of time. We had a machlokas last week. What is a short period of time? Either it means one day or it means 7 days. But generally speaking, we're machmir. So under general circumstances, except for extenuating circumstances, any knot that's going to be made has to be made for within 24 hours. That was rule number one. Rule number two that came out of last week's discussion was that it is prohibited to make a professional knot. Even if you're going to make it for a short period of time, even if it's for within 24 hours, it cannot be a professional knot. It has to be an amateur knot. It can't be a Maisa Uman. It has to be a Maisa Hediot. Well, we saw last week the Shilti HaGiburim had told us that any tight knot is already considered to be, we're concerned, is going to be a professional knot. And so most knots that we call in our lexicon a knot is going to end up being a professional knot, which can never be made. But there are a few exceptions to the rule, which we're going to see tonight. For example, one of the big exceptions to the rule where certain knots are not going to be called professional knots, which will be permitted to be made within 24 hours. So those are just the bottom line two rules that came out of last week's discussion. Now tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to discuss three classic types of knots, and we're going to assess their standing in terms of Melachas Kosher. So that's the goal for tonight. So let's start with the kesher number one, the first type of knot. The first knot we're going to spend a few moments analyzing is just the classic knot, which we'll call a crossover knot. If you take two strings and you cross them over, so at what point does that become a legal knot that's going to violate Melachas Kosher? I think the official knot term for professionals, the people who are in the know, I think they call it an overhand knot. But we're going to be asking ourselves, when you cross over strings, how many times you have to cross it over? At what point is it going to be a problem of Melachas Kosher? One time, two times, etc. So that's what we're discussing right now. So the Sefer Yerayim, written by Rabbi Elazar Mimitz, he deduces the basic rules for the crossover knot from a Gemara and Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. So let's move over to the Gemara and Ayin Dalet Amud Beis for a few moments to see what the Yerayim brought out of that Gemara. The Gemara 9 Dalet Amud Beis is discussing the Malach of Topher. Topher is a Malach of sewing. You sew on Shabbos, so that's the Malach of Topher. And the Gemara 9 Dalet Amud Beis has a problem with the Mishnah's presentation on Ayin Gimel. The Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel with Aleph presents the Malach of Topher as being where you sew two stitches. If you're Topher, Shtei Tfiros, so that's the classic original form of Malachas Topher in the Mishnah. And the Gemara on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis is bothered by that halacha, because there's a general principle when it comes to the malachos on Shabbos that you need to perform the malachos in a manner that's lasting, that's permanent. If you perform any malacha in a manner that's impermanent, that's temporary, so you're not going to be chayiv on Shabbos. This goes back to the general need for productivity. The malachos need to be done in a productive manner. So part of the need for productivity is that the malachos have to be performed in a permanent fashion. So with that in mind, the Gemara on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis is bothered. How can you tell me that sewing a mere two stitches is going to violate the Malach of Topher when that's not going to last? Two stitches aren't going to hold. They're going to become undone quite quickly. And so how can you tell me you're chayiv in that situation? It's a Malach of She'enimis Kayemis. That's the kasha of the Gemara. So the Gemara gives the following answer. It says that you're right. The case cannot be where you merely sew two stitches. You're not going to violate Topher for just sewing two stitches. It's not going to hold. The case has to be where after you sew the two stitches, you then tie the ends of the threads. If you tie the ends of the threads, so that'll give support. That'll reinforce the stitches. That'll hold it in place. Then you can violate Melachas Topher. But if you don't tie the ends, then it's not going to be a violation of Melachas Topher. So that's the Gemara on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Comes along the Yerayim, and he's bothered by the following question on this Gemara. Asks the Yerayim, and the Gemara here is telling me that what's the case in the Mishnah where you violate Topher for sewing two stitches? where you tie the ends of the thread. If you don't tie the ends of the thread, you're not going to be chayim. So the case in the Mishnah now is where you tie the ends of the thread. But if that's the case, asks the Arayim, then every time you violate tofer, you should also violate Malachas Kosher. Because now we're saying that every time you sew two stitches, after you sew the two stitches, you also need to tie the ends. While tying the ends should violate Malachas Kosher. But the problem is that the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel Med Aleph is mashma, that when you do the Malach of Topher, you violate Topher and only Topher. It lists 39 independent of his Malachos. Implication is that if you perform one of the 39 Malachos in the original form, you're going to violate that Malacha and nothing else. So ask the Arayim, how can you tell me that the case of sewing is where you tie the ends of the thread? If that's the case, every time you violate Topher, you should also violate Kosher, and that is just not the mashmos from the Mishnah. So that's the kasha of the Arayim on this Gemara. So the Urayim answers as follows. He says that we're going to deduce from this Gemara are the general rules for the crossover knot on Shabbos. What we're going to have to answer to deal with this question is that the case in the Gemara is as follows, that after you sew the two stitches, you take the two ends of the thread and you cross them over a single time. If you can, you know, call it the first stage in tying your shoes, you take up two laces and you do one crossover. So the case there is where you take the two ends of the thread and you cross them over a single time, and that is not going to violate Malachas Kosher. Malachas Kosher will not be violated by taking two strings and crossing it over a single time. That is considered to be insignificant. That is not considered to be a meaningful knot. And so therefore, it's not a violation of Kosher. So therefore, it comes out like this, that when you sew the two stitches and you take the two ends and you cross it one time, on the one hand, that will lend the needed support for the tefillah, it's still going to help hold it in place a little bit. So in terms of Malachas Tofer, it'll be sufficient to violate Tofer. But on the other hand, it's not going to violate Malachas Kosher because a single crossover doesn't violate Malachas Kosher. When do you violate Malachas Kosher? How many times do you have to cross over to violate Kosher? So the Urayim says like this. There are two basic circumstances, two basic manners in which you can violate Kosher through a crossover. Option one is if you take two strings, you have to cross it over two times. So you take up your two shoelaces, you cross it over once, you cross it over a second time. At that point, it's already called a knot, which is going to violate Malachas Kosher. That's one way to violate Kosher through the crossover. Option two, says the Urayim, if you have a single string and you loop it one time on itself and make a knot, that also will be sufficient. Although it's only one crossover, but on a single string, imagine your tzitzis, if you make a knot at the bottom of your tzitzis, which some people do, so it doesn't fray, so that's a single crossover, but that's also going to produce a significant knot, which is going to hold. So this is all kesher number one. We're going through different types of ksharim and laying out the basic rules for Malachas Kosher. Kesher number one is it's officially called the overhand knot, but we're just calling it a crossover knot. And it's coming out based on the Urayim. With two strings, you have to cross it over two times, but one time is perfectly permissible. With one string, if you cross it over one time on itself, that will also be halamah. Daniel, you have a question?
Yeah, I do. I mean, this is all a massive ukimta to like make up, not make up, sorry, but to say one is and two isn't. I mean, can't we just consider the paradigms in which these malachos come up? So kosher happens when you tie a knot. It has nothing to do when things are sewn. So in this case, since it's in the context of sewing, it's not kshira. It just doesn't fit the paradigm.
Do you mean to say that although in principle it should be a knot, but since it's in the context of tfira, so it gets subsumed under malachos tofer? Is that what you're suggesting? Yeah. That's exactly what the Ritva says. The Ritva says exactly what Daniel just said. A beautiful, very, very profound idea. It's not the standard shot in the sugi though, but now that Daniel was mechavin, so if you look at the Ritva, he also asked this question of the Urayim, and he answered and said that since it's in the context of Topher, although it would have been a knot, but it gets subsumed under Malachas Topher, and that's why it's excluded from kosher. That's a very deep idea, but we're just going with the Shreway Urayim because the Urayim's brought down Halacha. That was a beautiful idea. Yeah, dope.
That makes a lot of sense because if you take a string and you take two strings and tie it together, one crossover, that's very loose, it's not a permanent knot. By taking Topher, and now you can say, let me cross it over once, it's still not permanent. No matter what's going to happen, this whole contraption is not a permanent thing.
Is Dov, you mean to ask a question on the Urayim? You're asking, yeah. Dov is bothered by the following question. That when you take the two ends of the thread and you cross it over one time, just like it's not a kesher because it's not going to hold really, so how is it lending support to the tefira, to the stitches, to allow the stitches to hold? So I guess we'll have to do some experimentation later on. But on a basic level, it seems to be you take your garbage bag and you cross over your garbage bag one time. So it's going to hold for a little bit after some wear and tear that, you know, the single crossover is not going to hold. But for a little bit, it's going to hold.
It's coming out. It's, no matter what, it's coming out. Like, there's no way to play it.
Okay, that was
and that's so difficult. If you take, you did an actual double knot out there, that makes more sense. Why Ritva would say that comes into consumed.
Okay. Bottom line is, Dove doesn't like the Urami. He likes the Ritva. He likes Daniel's Ritva. That's what he's telling us. Okay, yeah. The Ritva would be a fan of you right now. Yeah, you know.
Sort of like the weight is hard to say. Maybe is it specifically talking about tying the two ends together with the stitches,
or
could it be talking about where you loop the string back under the stitch and then pull it? That the stitch sort of tightens over it.
Okay, that's an interesting idea. I just haven't seen that idea brought out. But
that's like
okay, Yona is trying to give another answer to it. Okay, Yona is trying to answer another question, another suggestion to the Uram's question. It's well taken, but it's I haven't seen that point made. Penny. Okay, so Penny is trying to answer those questions, which you have to say something like that. Penny is trying to say that you know, Topher and Kosher are going to have different Gedarim, that the single crossover is enough to give support to the Tefira, but at the same time, the single crossover is not enough for Malachas Kosher. You have to go that way, but I think we just want to continue on. We have to get to the fun stuff. Okay, Dov is really not happy. Dov thinks it's not going to work. Fine. Okay, we'll have to test this out later on. Good. Fine. Let's go over to Kesher number two. The second Kesher that we're now going to discuss is the bow. This is now the second stage in tying your shoes. You take your two strings, you make two bunny ears, you cross them over one time. What's the halachic perspective of making a bow on chives? So this is a machlokes tanoim in the Gemara on Kuf Yigimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara on Kuf Yigimel Amud Aleph brings a machlokes between Rabbi Huda versus the Chachamim as to an aniva. An aniva is a bow. What's the halacha in terms of making an aniva on chives? Starting with Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda says that aniva, a bow, is a full-fledged kesher. It's a regular knot that is subject to all the strictures of Malachas Kosher. That is the shita of Rabbi Huda. Yeah, Rafal, you have a question?
Is this dafka not for shoes?
So Rafal is asking, are we discussing dafka not shoes, or what are we discussing right now? So right now we're discussing the abstract, and hopefully, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to get to the practical cases today, or if not today, then Dov will make sure we get to it before we adjourn. but for right now, we're setting down the principles. So in the abstract, Rabbi Huda's shita is that when you make a bow, it's considered to be a full-fledged kesher, which has all the strictures of Malachas Kosher. That's the shita of Rabbi Huda. And the Chachamim argue and say that it's perfectly permissible to make a bow on Shabbos. This does not have the status of a kesher at all. It is perfectly permissible. Not only is it mutter midiraisa, it is mutter midirabana. So we're now having a big-time machlokas tanoim. What's the halacha in terms of making a bow on Shabbos? Rabbi Huda holds that it's aser. The Chachamim hold that is permissible. And we are mekel on this machlokas. We hold, we paskin, it is perfectly permissible to make a bow on Shabbos. Even if you make a very secure bow, even if you intend for it to last permanently, it is perfectly permissible. And so under many situations where a person is forced to make a knot on Shabbos, our go-to kesher, which we recommend, is a bow. If, let's say, the Erev goes down and we're going to have a non-Jew hopefully fix the Erev, we recommend having him tie a bow. A bow is always the key knot that is perfectly permissible, a halacha, and that's the key knot that we try to tie when we're able to. Doe is asking if I'm at a single bow or even more than a single bow. It's perfectly permissible to make multiple bows. You can make a bow on top of a bow. The Mordechai says that's perfectly permissible. Yeah, Mordechai says that you can make multiple bows. Multiple bows are also permissible. So you could do a bunny ear and then another loop, perfectly permissible. What? I haven't seen anyone answer it. But we're gonna have to see when we get the shoes. It's gonna be a big time controversy by shoes. So we're gonna be more makel. We're gonna be a lot more makel than people think. So we have to. Hopefully we'll get there today. If not today, yeah.
When you say a bow, double bow, what does that mean? Is that a bow and then a crossover?
Okay. So right now I'm not discussing tying your shoes. We're just discussing taking two strings, looping, you know, two bunny ears, and just going straight to the cross. You know, we're not talking. There's no single crossover. Okay, just to clarify again, we have two laces, and we're not discussing making a single knot first. We're discussing taking two laces and making each lace into a bow and going right into the bow construct. That's what we're discussing right now. Perfectly mutter lechatchila. That's the halacha. Fine. So those are our first two ksharim. Kesher number one was just the basic rules of the overhand knot. We saw two strings, you have to cross it over two times. On one string, one crossover is a problem. That was kesha number one. Kesha number two was the bow. Machlokes tanaim, we paskin is perfectly permissible. And now we come over to kesha number three, which is going to have all the major ramifications for halacha. So tonight in Meretz Hashem, we'll go through the principles, and then we'll find the time to go through the practical applications. But all the shailos are going to come out of this third kesher. So let's get the principles tonight, and then we'll see all the shailos that are discussed based on this third kesher. Fine. So the third kesher we're now going to discuss is what everyone was alluding to, which is going to be a combination of the first two knots. The question becomes, let's say I take my laces, and I first cross them over a single time, and then I tie a bow. So this is exactly what we do when we tie our shoes. You take up your two laces, you first do a single crossover, and then you make the bunny ears and you cross the bow. What's the halacha in that situation? So this is called an aniva al gabe kesher. So knot number one we discussed was where you take the two laces and you just cross them one time. Knot number two is where you go straight to the bow. Knot number three, this is what we're discussing, is where we're combining the two. We take our laces, we cross it one time, and then we make a bow. What's the halacha with an aniva al gabe kesher? Is anyone unclear about the Messias, what we're discussing? Just because you're not the Messias, then okay. Fine. Any questions? Josh? Josh, you have a question? You're on mute. Or Daniel?
Yeah. Is there a rationale for why a bow should be different than a kesher?
Okay. So Daniel, I tried to pull a fast one there, but not discussing why a bow is permissible. I'm so happy that Daniel is calling me out on this one. Why is it that a bow is permissible? So I'm going to give an off-the-cuff answer to this question, but it needs more analysis. Off-the-cuff, the way Achronim basically put it, the Orcha Shabbos put this way, is that since a bow is very easily undone by just yanking one of the strings, when you yank one string, the whole thing collapses, so it's considered to be a meaningless knot. You know, by a typical knot, in order to take apart a knot, you have to, you know, make sure you have fingernails and start, you know, plying at the knot to get it to come out. But with a bow, it's not the case. With a bow, you just give one yank and it undoes itself. Therefore, it's perfectly permissible. Now, there's a complication here which I'm going to point out and I'm not going to address. And that is that if you go with a simple explanation, then the double bow should become more problematic. Because if you make a bow on top of a bow on top of a bow, it might not be so simple to take it apart. When I was learning with Dotan, I took out my sneakers and we kept trying to see what comes out of the Rishonim. But so that does have to be figured out. The multiple bows, it might not be so clear that it's easy to undo. But that's the classic explanation that the Achronim give why a bow is different, because since it's just with one yank, the whole knot is closed, therefore it's not a meaningful knot or fall.
I also explain why it's overall
sign. Okay, so Rafal is pointing out why a slip knot would be permissible. That was those questions from last week. So it has to do with this fact about the easiness of undoing the knot. 100%. Excellent. That was excellent. Fine. Okay. So coming back now to kesher number three. So coming back to kesher number three. So we have what's called an aniva gabi kesher. I take my laces, I first cross them over one time, then I tie my bow on top. What's the halacha in that situation? So we have here a major machlokes rishonim, which is going to have big time ramifications on halacha between the Agur versus Rav Poras. So these are the rishonim here in this machlokes, the Agur versus Rav Poras. What's the halacha with an aniva agabe kesher? Starting with the shita of the Agur says that it is perfectly permissible to make an aniva agabe kesher, that there's nothing wrong with tying a crossover followed by a bow on top. The olam is nohik, says the Agur. To do this, it's perfectly fine. That's the shita of the Agur. Fine. The Mordechai, however, brings Rav Poras, who argues on the Agur. Rav Poras says that it is prohibited to tie in aniva agabe kesher. The crossover followed by the bow is prohibited. So we have now a machlokas rishonim, tying your shoes. What's the halacha when you do the crossover followed by the bow? The Agur says that this is perfectly permissible, whereas Rav Poras in the Mordechai says that this is prohibited. Now, before we continue, there's a crucial Shiltei Giburim, which is going to be very much nogea l'halacha, and he makes a refinement to the shita of Rav Poras. Rav Poras is telling us that it's prohibited, that there's a problem to tie this bow on top of a crossover. Now, says the Shiltei Giburim, even working with the shita of Rav Poras, that this is called a kesher that's subject to malachas kosher, This is not going to be a Maisa Uma. This type of knot is not a professional knot. This is going to be an amateur knot. Last week, we saw that there are big time differences between a Maisa Uman versus a Maisa Hedyo. For example, Halacha L'Maisa, everyone agrees, Sfardim and Ashkenaz, and everyone is unanimous. You can never tie a professional knot on Shabbos. Even for a short period of time, it is absolutely prohibited. It's only permissible to tie an amateur knot. So the Shulchan Gevurim is pointing out that this type of a knot, even according to Rav Poras, when he calls it a knot, is not going to be a professional knot. It's going to be an amateur knot. So that's going to have major ramifications on Halacha. Now, you can't always tie an amateur knot. Under certain circumstances, it's prohibited. But in some situations, it's permissible. So that's a very critical refinement of the Shulta Gibor. So be that as it may, we now have a machlokas Rishonim. What's the halacha with an aniva agave kasher? Augur says that it's permissible. The Rav Pora says that it's prohibited. And the question is, what's the hesber in this machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for the shita of the augur? What's the conceptual basis for the shita of the Shulta HaGibor? Follow.
What's the special that makes something professional?
Okay, that's a very, very good question. Rafal is asking, when is it called a professional knot? When is it called an amateur knot? So we had last week a Shulta HaGivorim who said that any tight knot is considered to be a professional knot, which basically means that most knots in our lexicon are professional knots. So,
you know, double knot?
Right, exactly. So a double knot, if you take your shoelaces and cross it over one time and a second time, that already is called a tight knot. Says the Shulta HaGivorim and the Ramah Paskins this way, that's going to be prohibited to make even for a short period of time. That's called a professional knot. So it's actually very hard to find an amateur knot. So I asked a big time posek this question when he was out of the sugya, what's an example of an amateur knot? And it was hard for him to come up with one on the spot. But so now that we're in the sugya, this is an example of an amateur knot. The shoelace is an example of a knot that is called a knot, but it's an amateur knot. You do a single crossover followed by a bow. This is an example of a knot, which is going to be an amateur knot. So it's a good specimen that we have in front of us here. Yeah, Dov.
How does it relate to the meeting with the issue regarding the rule 2 about less than 24 hours?
Dov is asking, how does this play into being less than 24 hours? So we're going to get the Mirtzah Shem, we're going to get the shoelaces, la halacha, at some point, not today. This is called an amateur knot. So if you go plug in our rules would mean that you could tie this within 24 hours. According to the Reporas, you can tie this within 24 hours, not more than 24 hours. If you plug in our rules to Reporas Hashita, again, I'm not discussing Halacha L'Maaseh right now, but if you take a Reporas Hashita, that this is called an amateur knot, and you plug in our rules to Halacha L'Maaseh, that means that you can tie this type of knot within 24 hours, but not more than 24 hours. We are going to come out the way.
That's what the Shulta Gibor.
Yes.
If we're not going within the Shulta.
Yes, yes, 100%, 100%. Yes, 100%, 100%. Yes, you're correct, but I don't know, your cheshbonos are excellent.
I got you.
Yeah.
Maybe just say that you start the two knots together with your.
Beautiful. Excellent.
Is adding on to the kesher, or do you say that each one is looking at independently, and each one independently is fine?
So okay, so that's absolutely beautiful, Hesber. Ultimately, down the road, you're going to be, what you just said is going to be a Hesber behind the Tzitzel Yezer. We're going to have a Shaila. We're going to get to Mordechai's Hesber. Right now, we're going to give a little more of a basic explanation, but we're 100% headed in that direction. I'm not going to repeat what Mordechai said because we're going to say the Hesber over in a second. But Ben, did you want to say something?
Yeah.
So Ben is asking, according to the Shita of Rashi from last week, who doesn't care about professional knots, what would we say about this aniva agave kesher? So the answer is that if you make it on a permanent basis, it's going to be aser deraisa. If you make it on a short-term basis, it could be permissible. So this is an amateur knot, but it is still called the knot, and therefore it is subject to the rules from last week. I don't want to emphasize last week's discussion too much just because of complication. You mind if I just go on a little bit because it's a time?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Okay, so what's the hesber in this machlokes? And just to emphasize, the real shita that needs explanation is the shita of Rav Poras, because if you think about it, in kesher number one, we saw that a single crossover is perfectly permissible. In kesher number two, we saw that a bow is perfectly permissible. So you'd like to think that 0 + 0 = 0, that if you combine two things that are permissible, you usually end up with something that's permissible. Yet Rav Poras is saying that this is prohibited. So we need to understand the shita of Rav Poras. So we're going to be mazir both shitas, but just to emphasize it, to appreciate where we're headed, that's the shita that's complicated on a conceptual level. Yonah.
Once you add the bow on top of it, now when now when you undo the bow, you're still left, meaning the
100%.
By itself would have become undone like very easily. But now that there's a bow, it's not considered
beautiful. 100%. So Yona said exactly what Parnas had said. So let me just flesh out what Yona just said. So Parnas once pointed out that this issue is going to come down to a fundamental chakira concerning kesher number one. So, you know, this construct we're discussing is a combination of a crossover plus a bow. So let's put the bow on the side for a moment. We're going to analyze the single crossover from kesher number one, and we're going to pose a chakira how to look at that crossover, and that's going to be mazbir this machlokas. So let's move over to kesher number one for a moment. Again, when you take two strings and you cross it over one time, it's perfectly permissible. That was the halacha of the Yireim. It is mutter to do a single crossover. Now, although it's permissible, Parnas pointed out, there's still room to pose a chakira, how to look at this type of knot on halachic level. On halachic level, it's mutter to do, but how do we assess, how do we define this knot on halachic level? So there are two ways of looking at the single crossover. Oh, okay, so it goes like this. Option number one is to simply say that it has no halachic standing, that a single crossover is another thing, just a very straightforward way of assessing it. You do a single crossover, it's mutter because it has no standing in halacha. So that is possibility number one. But there's a second, more sophisticated way of looking at this single crossover. And that is to say that it does have the status of a knot. It has what we call a shem kesher. It has the status of a knot, just you're not going to be chayav for tying it because it's insufficient, it's inadequate. Since, as Dov was emphasizing quite vehemently, that the single crossover is not going to hold after, you know, a minimal amount of effort, it's going to get undone. So it's not a knot, it's not a kesher that you're going to be chayav for. It's an insufficient, it's an inadequate, insignificant kesher. So it's a kesher, but it's not a kesher shel chiyav. So we're posing a chakira now. How do you look at the single crossover knot? Do you look at it as a nothing? It has no standing in halacha. Or do you look at it as a kesher that's insufficient? It's a kesher that's insignificant. So that's the chakira that we're posing. So let's take that chakira now and plug it back into the shayla. We're posing a shayla now in kesher number three. If I add a bow on top of the crossover, does anything change? Is it still going to be permissible, as the Augur says? Or now is it going to be prohibited, as Rav Porat says? So let's go through the chakira and just flesh out what comes out. Starting with the first side in the chakira, if we say that a single crossover is a zero, has no standing in halacha, when I add a bow on top, so that's zero plus zero equals zero. A single crossover is a nothing. Adding a bow also in and for itself is not meaningful. Zero plus zero equals zero. That's going to be the shita of the Augur. The Augur who says that it's permissible to tie an aniva al gabi kesher is going to say that a single crossover has no standing in halacha. Adding a bow on top is just adding another insignificant knot, two insignificant, two zeros equals nothing. Therefore, it is permissible. So that's the shita of the Augur. What's the shita of Rav Porat? So let's go now to the second side in the chakira. The second side was to say that a single crossover has a shem kesher, has the status of a kesher. It's just insignificant because of the fact that it's going to fall out. It's not going to hold up. It's an insignificant kesher, and therefore you're not chayav for tying it. If we say like the second side, now we can say, as Yonah had put it beautifully, once you add a bow on top, although the bow in and for itself is also not considered to be a kesher, but the bow is going to serve the role of reinforcing the crossover. When you add a bow on top, it's now going to reinforce the crossover. It's going to lend support to the crossover. Now it's significant. Now it's sufficient. Now you can be chayav for tying this type of a kesher. So that'll be the hezer behind the shita of Rav Porat. Rav Porat is going to hold that a single crossover has a shem kesher. It is a kesher, just as insignificant. If you throw a bow on top, it's going to reinforce the first crossover, and therefore it will be chayav. So that's the hezbo we're giving in the shayla. It's coming down to a fundamental chakira. How do you look at the single crossover with regards to malachas kosher? Okay, any questions? Dov is like five questions. Go. Just ask your best one.
I don't understand the bow on top of a bow, but not on top of a knot, because that first knot will also affect the second knot.
Okay.
When you have a bow, you still pull that string. You have nothing.
Okay. So Dov will be asking the following question. So we're gonna address this question. Dov is asking, I have a bow on top of a crossover. I could just pull it out and it falls right apart. So it doesn't hold and fall apart. So you have to be very careful. You have to just, this is what you want to point it out before, that when I have a crossover with a bow, if you undo the bow, the crossover will still remain. Now it's true that the crossover is in and for itself is a very dinky knot. You know, it's not going to last for very long. You know, oh, Raya, you know, look at kids' shoes. But but you know, we have to appreciate this just on a conceptual level. It's going to take two steps for it to be undone. That when you do a crossover followed by a bow, when the bow comes out, the crossover still will remain until the crossover comes out. So that's two steps. And that already apparently is going to be considered to be enough of a support to be defined as a catch. Two steps meaning to say, first the bow has to come out, and then the crossover has to come out. So that's already two steps. That's already considered to be enough. Okay, so Rafal is asking about a double bow. So I pointed out that double bow is my Achilles heel. That needs explanation, because the truth is that a double bow is not so easy to undo, yet it's permissible. So that's a very fair question. It's an isolated problem. It's really a bomb kasha, but it's permissible.
So is the only reason why that original first crossover, two crossovers is ushered because of two steps?
So we're actually going to have time to get to it. We're going to get to it now. Hopefully. So we're going to have to find time to go through all the practical examples. Tonight we're doing the conceptual analysis, and then we will find time to do the practical examples. Okay, fine. Any questions?
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
Don't we already have a term for a knot that's got a shem kesher, but it's insufficient? Is it called a kesher she'eino shel kayama?
A kesher she'eino shel kayama.
Right? Unless you're saying that if it's not kayama, that's like subjective to the time frame of the individual.
Just to clarify, when we talk about a kesher she'eino shel kayama, we're discussing something that's a full-fledged knot. Imagine a double knot. It's an undisputed knot. Just your mindset, you're subjectively deciding that it's not going to remain in place permanently. It's going to remain in place for a day, let's say. So when we talk about that being a kesher she'eino shel kayama, we're saying that physically speaking, it's a full-fledged knot with two crossovers. Just subjectively, you're deciding to only tie it for one day instead of a more than. We saw last week that a kesher she'eino shel kayama is going to be not deraisa, and we had different sheets last week as to how exactly to classify if it's not a kesher shel kayama. Daniel, to take his question, you know, he's now posing a hakira. If you have a kesher she'eino shel kayama, is it a zero, or does it have a shem kesher? So, you know, we just opened up now a Pandora's box on a conceptual level, malachas kosher, which is the fair question. You know, now whenever we find a knot that's mutter, so we can always pose a hakira now, is it a zero, or is it a something just insufficient? That's a very fair question. But for right now, the way we're channeling this hakira is in terms of a single crossover, which is physically insufficient. It's one crossover. So is that a zero, or is it a kesher just insufficient? That's what we're doing now.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, fine. So I think we're going to do one nafka mina now, and then we'll have to find time to go through the practical applications. Either next week or in 2 weeks, we'll see. But we'll find time. So the nafka mina we're going to discuss is as follows. The achronim pose the following shaila. Let's say you have a single crossover that was done before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, you take your two shoelaces and you cross it over one time. And then on Shabbos, you now cross it over a second time. So what is the halacha in that situation? Where before Shabbos, you did one crossover, you took two laces and you did one crossover. And then on Shabbos, you now do a second crossover. This is touching on what Rafal was asking before. What's the halacha in this situation? So this is a machlokes achronim between the Tolish Shmuel versus the Oz Nidberu. Let's just spell the Shita, then we'll stop for questions. But starting with the Shita of the Tolda Shmuel. The Tolda Shmuel says that in this situation, it is going to be Chayiv Echatas. This will be Aser Midaraisa. Because that single crossover, which existed before Shabbos, is not Chayiv, it's not meaningful, it's perfectly permissible. When you add the second crossover on Shabbos, you've now transformed this into a Kesher Shel Chayiv, and so that's going to be prohibited Aser Midaraisa. So that's the Shita of the Tolda Shmuel, that this is Aser Midaraisa. However, the Oz Nidberu argues on the Tolda Shmuel. The Oz Nidberu says that this is not going to be Aser Midaraisa, because when you made the single crossover before Shabbos, although it's perfectly permissible, but it still is half the battle. That is still half the kasher. On Shabbos now, when you add a second crossover, Lamaisa, you didn't do the whole job. You only did a Chatzi Malacha. And so therefore, it is going to be not Aser Midaraisa. If anything, it'll be Aser Midarabanan, but it's not going to be a full-fledged violation Midaraisa. So we have now machlokes achronim. What's the halacha? If you have one crossover before Shabbos and you add a second one on Shabbos, is that going to be a full-fledged violation or not? The Tolda Shmuel says that it's Asr Midaraisa, whereas the Oz Nidbru says that it's not going to be Asr Midaraisa. What's the Hezber in this Machlokas? Anyone want to give an analysis of this, Shaila?
I was going to ask, like, what would the Sim Machlokas be if, like, I do single knot and then
you... Okay, so Rafal is asking, would the same Machlokas apply if he does one Kesher on Shabbos and then I do a second Kesher on Shabbos? Absolutely. Same exact Machlokas. If you do one Kesher perfectly mutter, you know, you do one kesher for your garbage bag, perfectly mutter. I come over, I do a second crossover. So same shaila. What's the halacha if you didn't do the full job? You add a second crossover to an already existing crossover. What's the din? Anyone want to give us an analysis of this shaila? Yeah.
So like we were saying before, that the saying that the second chaliva is not the second kesher is not having anything to do with the first kesher. It's they're totally independent. It's not causing the first kesher to be any more.
And the Tolda Shmuel?
Tolda Shmuel is saying that you're reinforcing that first kesher.
Okay. So you happen to be saying very, very good. We're just going to phrase it a little differently. But yeah, then you want any last?
What if I say that you don't really need to charge the kesher, one kesher?
So that's on a single string, you said. Something on a single string. Ben's asking. Okay, so we'll have to go through it. But Ben's asking a question from the Mordechai inside. Just responding quickly, but let's go to the Hezra now. So this is going to be totally on our Chakira. Let's go back to the Chakira and plug it in. Starting with the first side in the Chakira, if we say that a single crossover is a zero, has no standing in Halacha, then it comes out when you on Shabbos now add a second crossover to this knot, you're now producing a full-fledged Kesher. Beforehand, before Shabbos, when there was one crossover, it has no standing in Halacha. When you now add that second crossover, you're now producing a knot. You're producing a halachic knot. You're going from zero to 100 with that one activity. That should be totally prohibited. So that'll be the simple explanation, the shita of the Tolda Shmuel. Tolda Shmuel says that this is Asr Midaraisa, would be holding that the first crossover is a nothing. When you add the second crossover, you produce the full-fledged knot. And so therefore, it's Asr Midaraisa. Moving over to the second side in the Chakira, if we say that really a single crossover has a Shem Kesher, it's a something. It's just inadequate. It's not going to hold, so it's insufficient. When that existed before Shabbos, you already have a knot. There already is a kesher there. Come Shabbos, when you add a second crossover, you're not producing a knot. You're not creating a knot from scratch. You're just improving on the previous knot. So there's an argument can be made. It's not compelling, but it's very reasonable to argue that you're not going to violate Melechus Kosher. This would be similar to a Chati Melacha, where you only did half the job. You're improving on the already existent knot. You haven't produced a knot from scratch, a very strong argument could be made that you're not going to be chayav. So this would be a simple explanation of this shaila. It's mitalia on whether one crossover is a zero, in which case you've produced the full-fledged knot, or if one crossover is a something, in which case you're just adding on to which was already there, and the argument could be made if you didn't produce a knot, it's going to be only us at the Rabbanan, if anything. Now, I just want to point out a quick application of this nafkamina, which is as follows, a practical application of this nafkamina before we end, and that is like this. The Oz Nidru points this out. Let's say you have the following situation. Let's say on Shabbos, a person realizes that his tzitzis, his lower knot of his tzitzis starts to unravel, starts to come loose. So what's the halacha in terms of tightening your tzitzis on Shabbos? So the Oz Nidru says that that's going to be an application of this nafkamina. We're closing a nafkamina now. I have one crossover, and I add a second one on Shabbos. What's the halacha? Says Oz Nidru, that's exactly what's happening when you tighten your tzitzis. Now, you can question this, but this is what he says. He says like this, that the bottom knot of your tzitzis is really two crossovers. If you check your tzitzis out afterwards, it's two crossovers is the bottom knot. When the knot loosens, so what's basically happening is that one crossover is remaining, and the other one's unraveling. When you tighten the knot, when you tighten your tzitzis, what you're doing is you're reintroducing that second crossover to the first crossover. So that's how he assesses tightening your tzitzis, that when your tzitzis starts to unravel, starts to loosen, one crossover is remaining, but that second crossover is loosening. When you tighten it, you're reintroducing the second crossover to the first crossover. And so he wants to say that should depend on this shaila here. That starting with the shita of the Tolda Shmuel said that it's Asr Midaraisa to add one crossover to another crossover. So says the Oz Nidru, according to the Tolda Shmuel, tightening your tzitzis will be Asr Midaraisa. And the Tolda Shmuel says this explicitly. It's actually in the previous halacha. I didn't put this in the Maran Mekomos, but right before the one that I put in the Maran Mekomos, he says explicitly that the Olam has this practice of tightening their tzitzis, and I think that it's asur midaraisa. I think that there's a chashash deraisa. Tightening your tzitzis is asur midaraisa. Why is it asur midaraisa? It doesn't explain. Says as nidburu, you want to know why? Because l'shitaso, he holds that you're adding one kasher to another kasher, and therefore it's asur midaraisa. On the other hand, says the Aznidbaru, according to me, it's not going to be asur midaraisa. Because when your tzitzit starts to unravel and you're now tightening it and reintroducing that second crossover to the first crossover, so I hold that it, when you have this situation, if you didn't create both crossovers on Shabbos, you're just adding one to the other one, that's only asur midarabanan, if anything, it's not asur midaraisa, and therefore it would not be an asur midaraisa. So that's just an application of this nafka mina, tightening your tzitzit, whether it's asur midaraisa or asur midarabanan, is going to depend on this machlokes. Now, at the end of the day, the Oz Nidbaru says that he still agrees he shouldn't do it, and the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa brings this down. A person should not tighten his tzitzis on Shabbos, but it's just an interesting application of this machlokes. So, with that, we're gonna end for now, just to daven marav in time. But Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll continue on with the interesting stuff, and we'll get to the practical applications when we can. Okay, Shkaya. Have a good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Shabbos, good to see you.
Shabbos.